1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Monday morning. Time to look back and see how things unfolded yesterday in the world of football with our football expert, Santana Dodson. Good morning, Santana. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas.
Hey, Santana. When was the last time you just flat got your ass kicked by somebody?
A fresh one, right?
Yeah.
A fresh butt whooping.
Yeah. What was your game that you would compare that yesterday's performance by the Packers to when you were in the NFL?
Never had one. Well, you know what? Let me be honest. I would say Randy Moss's coming out party on Monday night. Both teams were undefeated, I believe, and it would have been Randy Moss's rookie year. Was it a blowout? No. But did we really have an answer for Randy? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and that's when we started drafting D-back after D-back after D-back, right?
Exactly, yeah.
His rookie year, 98.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that would have been 99, maybe 2000 was his rookie year.
98.
Yeah, and we were good defensively. So, you know, we were a proud defense that hadn't seen the likes of that at all. You know, a defense that played people like, you know, Barry Sanders and folks like that twice a year. So it gives you a lot of confidence. And to come up against that Randy Moss wall was – a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah. Let's just go first quarter. Packers seem to have complete control of the football game in the first quarter. Matter of fact, it ended 10-0, and I think the Patriots had run single-digit amount of offensive plays, correct?
Yes. Yeah, complete control of the game.
So
whistling along.
Right. Things are humming along. It's like, yeah, maybe I felt like would have been nice to have two touchdowns on the board, but
there was like 47 seconds left in the first quarter after that touchdown, right? Field goal,
yeah.
Three and out, touchdown.
Ball control, running, passing, pretty much, you know, doing what they like. And then the second quarter rolls around and it's, Rodgers throws an interception and we're not used to seeing that, right?
For the first time this season for sure.
157 passes, I think they said.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he throws an interception. And, well, it's not just an interception. It's a interception for a touchdown. Yeah, pick six.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Well, all right.
The worst kind of interception.
Right. It's like, okay. That won't happen again. Couple plays later.
Yeah, whammo.
They have the ball again. Another pick, but they're tackled at the two. So, essentially, that was, you know, it set them up for a touchdown. I think the Patriots had run 9 plays and were leading 14-10 at that point. And I'm thinking, not a problem, but it's like our whole team came unglued at that point. What the F? It's like everybody forgot how to do their job.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we all saw the same game. And the rough part is that the turnovers or the interceptions came not even a halfway point of the second quarter. So there's plenty of time in the second quarter and to adjust. And football is a game of adjustment. I feel like we are way too heavy on Aaron Rodgers, and our expectation becomes obvious that we're dependent on him way too much, because when he has a bad game, and I won't even say he was having a bad game, he was having a good enough game. But, you know, everybody's got a plan, as Mike Tyson says, till they get hit in the nose. So we got hit in the nose a couple of times, which we're not used to having done with the interceptions and interception for a turnover. But our inability to adjust to it, from the play calling as well as the concentration of what we're doing offensively and defensively, throws us into a peril.
Could it be that our defense is as bad as it was last year and we were able to cover it up with a lot of offense the first four or five weeks of the season?
Yeah, well, our defense is built around, again, Aaron or the quarterback position or offensively us scoring 26 to 30 points a game. So when it doesn't happen, do we have the ability to get the ball back, take the ball away from the opposing offense? And we haven't shown that. There's another Aaron on our team that I think is one of the top players in the NFL, not just a top running back, but he's one of the top players on the team. And what I mean by adjusting is, okay, Aaron needs a little time to get back settled into his format. Let's feature Aaron Jones and the two, three other running backs we have. And it's not always by just running the ball, but even in a quick passing game, let's feature them till we get a hold of what's going on. And we had 30 minutes in the second half to do it, and let's say another 5-6 minutes in the second quarter to do it, and it just never happened. So that's what really gives you pause about us. But are we that bad? Are we 28 points? Was it 28? It was 38 to 10.
Yeah.
Are we 28 points worse than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Absolutely not.
After they had, you know, gotten rattled and they couldn't seem to get their rhythm again, why not go to the, you know, no huddle? Get the defense back on their heels.
You're exactly right. Get the defense on their heels, no huddle. How about this, just a quick passing game? Because, you know, a lot of times you look at the scoreboard and you say, oh, my gosh, you know, three scores, we're two scores down, three scores down. But, you know, somewhere somebody said a touchdown is 6 points. But honestly, what is a touchdown? It means you have to get into end zone. If you're down two scores, you have to get in the end zone twice. So you have to figure out a way to put two drives together. So I don't know why we're down a score or two, and all of a sudden we've got to hold the ball 3, 4, 5 seconds. Bakhtiari goes out, who's we're used to always being in the game. He goes out. And, you know, it gets rough when you've got a veteran defensive line, which Tampa has. Everybody's pinning their ears back to rush the passer, and they're blitzing. They have an outstanding defensive coordinator in Todd Bowles. So that would love to play games with you when you're down. So I just think that we really dropped the ball as far as the play calling, the attention to detail. And, hey, we're 4-0. So when you're 4-0 and, you know, everything's – you're whistling Dixie all the way down. So the avenue, I just think that, you know, things could have been better. We could have made them better, and we had the opportunity on a national stage – but it just didn't come together.
Well, it's not that they didn't have their opportunities. They did. That pass to Mercedes Lewis where Troy Aikman said there was nobody that was going to stop him if he catches that pass, and Rodgers overthrew him. He missed him. So there were opportunities.
There was some dropping of stuff, and they'd pop up Tom Brady's numbers, and I'd look at them and go, why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? They don't seem to drop anything.
And again, that goes back to the earlier point. You're asking the quarterback position to be immaculate on every throw.
Yes.
Which he generally is.
Yeah.
But if you have some quality players that, okay, the ball's a little high, the ball's a little low, but I'm still going to go make that. I mean, I'm still going to go make the play. I'm going to figure out how to make the play. So, I mean, even on the quarterback, even on the throw for the interception for a touchdown, was it a perfect pass? No. Are we used to Aaron throwing perfect passes? Absolutely. But at the same time, I mean, there's a human aspect to the game. So after 150 throws or however many games without an interception, you might just throw one. It could happen.
You know, Santana, I'm not shocked that they lost a game aside from the fact that I do believe everything I hear on the radio, and I heard a former football player say the Packers are probably going to go undefeated this year. And I feel like, you know, when what I hear on the radio doesn't match up with what goes on in the real world, I come a little unhinged. So,
standing on a ledge, or
15-1, maybe, or do you think maybe there's a couple more losses down the road as we play this out?
No, I mean, I still think we're the cream of the crop. We'll be there at the end.
Oh, well, really, you think we're the cream of the crop because we're in second place this morning. We're a half a game behind the Chicago Bears.
Ah!
Half a game behind the Chicago Bears, who went 5-0 5-1 yesterday.
5-1
Yeah.
Well, we'll be fine. We know Chicago will figure out a way to let the wheels come off. But yeah, I still think we'll be there at the end. I think we're one of a half a dozen or eight teams that should be there at the end of the season. We've got some work to do. We've got our homework cut out for us. We're not as good as we initially thought we were, but we're definitely not as bad as that score reflected yesterday.
Well, the Packers come to your backyard next week.
I know, right? And you know, the rough thing is J.J. Watt and crew. They definitely need a victory. They lost in overtime to the undefeated Titans yesterday or Sunday, and you know, they definitely need a win. But this is a winnable game for the Packers, and they should definitely be able to get back on track as they come down to Houston.
This has disaster written all over it.
You think? See,
it's time for the teams that are on the schneid to get off the schneid. And the Falcons did that against the Vikings, which I don't know if you enjoyed and watched. But so who's left? The Jets and Houston.
Houston got one victory.
Yeah, they've got.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. But they are again. They are very talented. They have enough talent to be able to figure out. They're a typical playoff team. So they have enough time to figure out how to get a win. I think what they are, they're very young in their secondary, and it definitely shows.
I would
look for the offense to be able to pick up some steam against the Texans this week.
Do you think the weather had anything to do with it? It was hot in Florida yesterday, and it looks like it's going to be hot in Houston next Sunday. 84 is what they're saying right now. Does that make any difference?
Typically they keep dome closed here, so it'll be 70 degrees inside with about 6,000 people there. I think they let 6,000 people in the game. So nine times out of 10, it'll be closed. I don't think, you know, I think the weather would be a cop-out. It looked pretty windy to me, which that was a surprise. But I saw jerseys blowing in the air and flags blowing in the first half, so it didn't look to me to be too bad with the breeze. I just think that, I mean, again, they got hit in the nose and they never responded from it. And they had plenty of time and plenty of drives to do so.
Now, in a normal year, I would expect that you would make a cameo at the game this weekend in Houston. But these aren't normal times.
These are not normal times. I got a good buddy who happens to be a Packer fan as well. And we're going to do steak and crab legs for friends and family, and just sit out in his backyard and hope for the best.
You're not doing the cooking?
You know what? I think I'm going to let him do it, and I'm going to do the storytelling and the joke telling. I'm real good at that as well.
I will handle stories and jokes while you stand.
I will bring... Yeah, over some good stories.
While you stand over the hot coals and make... So will you have lunch during the game, before the game, after the game?
I think during.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of work for the cook, you know, if it's during the game.
But he can concentrate on the cooking.
Yeah,
because our pal will be telling stories.
After the game, because if it's after the game, when do you think you should have it? Because if the kickoff is at 12, which I'm assuming.
You know, it depends on the food.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something you can just kind of finger food it, during the game's fine.
I understand not wanting a steak and lobster at 11:30 in the morning, you know, just to get it down before the game starts.
Yeah, but that sounds like you sit down before the game.
It sounds like that's going to take your full concentration.
Well, you guys know, as a guy, as a man, as a male, I've got a son and three daughters. My buddy has a wife, a daughter, and a granddaughter that's 6. So at that point, when you ask me what time we're eating, the honest response is whatever the women say.
Yeah.
So whatever time they say they want it done, it's going to be done. So we can, you know, so we can actually watch the game.
You know what? That sounds like a veteran move right there, Santana. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
You're not some rookie showing up going, let's eat. No, you eat when they say it's time to eat.
Yeah, yeah. This is like rodeo number 10 million for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Precisely.
All right, one more thing before we let you go. The Packers were coming off a bye week. They had 2 weeks to get ready for that game. Should I be more, less, or same? Check one of the boxes, disturbed by that performance just because it was off of a bye week than it would off of a normal week.
Wow. That, you know what? I didn't even think about that. It's a little bit, you should be more perturbed.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
But this is a different year. It's a different season. All that stuff goes into it as well. Well, I think we all expected, and they expected better too. I don't, you know, to go 45 minutes or however long it was without a reaction to the action, I think they expected a little bit better as well.
All right.
I'm going to try not to lose too much sleep because I actually in my brain had built in a couple of losses on the season, Santana.
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, those things can happen.
But I just didn't like the way it happened. But would I have rather lost it at the very last second, or would I had the whole, really half of the third quarter and the entire fourth quarter going, they're not going to come back from this. There's no way they come back from this. So, but.
Yeah, well, it's like your favorite way to lose.
Yeah, what's better? Yeah, what's better?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the way you lose, again, we talk about this from time to time. There's a physicality. That's why everybody really loves football. There's a physical aspect to the game of football. And let's face it, our team got bullied yesterday. They were beaten, bludgeoned, and everything else. And we didn't respond to it. Like, Aaron was getting knocked around. And my expectation is the Smith brothers, you know, we had a lot of people back from injury on defense. My expectation is you respond to your quarterback getting hit. And there was no response to it. So, especially as me being a defensive player for 11 years in the NFL, when I see my quarterback getting knocked around, I can't wait to see the defense go out and respond to it. And there was just no response to it. So that's what really leaves you with a bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah, but you are waking up in a world, Santana, where the Chicago Bears are on top of the NFC North for the for the week at least.
Isn't that an alternate universe?
The Nick Foles led Chicago Bears.
That's right. What's Nick Foles do? Just wins, baby.
Win. Yeah. And when he stops winning, they can go to their other superstar quarterback, Mitch Trubisky.
He's done in Chicago.
Did he leave? Did he pack up?
I didn't see any shots of him on the sideline yesterday. I think he quit. I don't know.
He quit.
Nick Foles is quality. He is a quality quarterback. A lot of times his injuries kind of halt his season for whatever reason. But he is a quality quarterback.
This is what happens when your team loses. You have to hear about how good all the other quarterbacks are that you've been laughing about all season.
That's
the world we're in now. It's our own fault. We're sports fans. All right, Santana, we got to run.
Fellas, y'all have a great week.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.